Nothing is impossible with God. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? What did I say? Nothing is impossible with God. I can trust Him.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Once again, we greet all those listening to our broadcast this evening. We will continue with the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message begun last week and entitled, What is Your Faith Based On? This message is the fourth in Pastor Grant's series on the seven signs of Christ, those seven miracles recorded in the Gospel of John, all of which specifically point out Jesus as the Messiah, the God-man come to earth to open salvation to all mankind. In the earlier part of this message, taken from John chapter 4, we found a royal official with a desperate problem who sought an encounter with Jesus. From this encounter, Pastor Grant identified in this man two of three principles of saving faith. First, one must acknowledge a Savior who is both God and man. Second, one must humble himself or herself before God. This evening, Pastor Grant will pick up again with point two. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with us to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and verses 46 through 54, as Pastor Grant brings this message to its searching conclusion. Here once again is Pastor Grant.
Have you humbled yourself before Jesus as yet? Do you know I've met a lot of people who are still outside of Christ, a lot of people who are still unsaved because they refuse to humble themselves before God. They keep saying, oh, I'm good enough. I'm not as bad as this one. I'm not as bad as this one. I haven't shot anybody. I read my Bible every day. I'm a member of a church. I've been baptized. I'm even on the usher board. I'm an elder. I'm a deacon. When you ask people sometimes, it's fascinating to say to people, how do you know you're saved? Oh, I'm a member of such and such a church. Explain to me again. Oh, I'm actually active in the church. Hey, that's not the basis of faith. Your church membership has nothing to do with whether or not you have saving faith. Saving faith requires one, a real understanding that the Savior has got to be a man named Jesus who was God and man at the same time. But saving faith requires that I must humble myself in the presence of God. In Luke 18, a Pharisee and a tax collector went to the temple to pray. Some of you know the story. And the Pharisees prayed. You see, the Pharisee is like how some of us were before we came to Jesus. And the Pharisees prayed, God, I thank you. I thank you. But notice he didn't say, God, I thank you for blessing me and for saving me. He said, no, God, I thank you that I'm really a good guy. I thank you that I'm not like other people. Oh my. Then he said, I'm not like them. I'm not a swindler. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. Then he added, he opened his eye, or probably had his eye on the whole time. And he looked across and he saw this little tax collector praying. The tax collectors, in case you didn't get it, they were the hated people. Nobody liked paying taxes, and these tax collectors represented Rome. That's number one. And number two, you were going to gouge me for my money so you could give it to Rome. And so the Jews hated tax collectors. And so here is this Pharisee. He's a big shot in the Jewish religion. And he's praying, and he said, God, I am so glad I'm not like them. And I'm not like that tax collector. Is that you? You're just so glad that you're not like them. Jesus ends up giving a commentary on the story. Because on the other hand, the poor little tax collector who he was looking down his nose at. The little tax collector, the Bible says, he was so humble before God. He was so aware of his sinfulness. He was so aware that he fell far short of God's righteous standards. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes towards heaven. He held his head down, the Bible said, and he beat on his breast. And he prayed a simple prayer. God, Be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, you don't need a long prayer to get saved. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I want to ask you, have you gotten there yet? When you admit before God, God, I'm a sinner. Please, God, have mercy on me and save me. And Jesus gave a commentary and he said, I want you to know that the one that went to his home saved, the one who was justified, the one who was declared righteous that day was not the Pharisee, it was the tax collector, the one that was despised, but the one that was willing to humble himself in the sight of God. I wonder, my friend, are you willing to do that today? You see, the basis for saving faith has to do with a Savior who is God and man. But a second basis of faith has to do with an individual willing to humble themselves before God. Sometimes we think we're so important. Do you know what I do? Do you know how much money I have? Do you know who's my family? God doesn't care. Did you get it? So, you may impress me. Some folks have left this church because we didn't treat them with all the, what you call it, the significance they thought they deserved because of their status in the society and they were important people. And as far as this church was concerned, you're just a sinner saved by grace like everybody else. And I just tell you from now, if you become a member of this church, you'll find that you're not going to get all this, oh, brother so-and-so, come sit here. Nobody's going to pay you that much attention. In fact, you may be a big shot, but when it's time to put out the tables, we're going to ask you to put them out too. Amen? Because God isn't impressed. When you line up your little stuff against him, come on now. You can impress me, but I'm not the one saving you. The one you want to save you is the Almighty God, the one who spoke the word into existence. So you may as well keep your mouth shut and humble yourself in his presence and say, God, I'm just not good enough. I admit I'm a sinner, but I thank you that you're willing to save me. Hey, it takes a Savior who is God and man. It takes humbling ourselves in the sight of God. But third, important, essential in this text, it takes faith in the person of Christ. Faith in the person of Christ. And in this text, it's very interesting because you will actually see a progression of this man's faith. There are three aspects of faith that is right here in this text that I want to pay a little attention to. The first one is that faith in the power of Christ. This man initially displayed faith in the power of Christ. As a royal official, he had access to the best medical care Roman power could buy, but no one could help him. But he had heard about the amazing miracles Jesus was doing. And this man, as big shot as he was, he came begging Jesus to heal his son. In the midst of your drama, let me just stop here. This big shot, you can imagine with all his resources, he had tried every doctor that Rome had. He had tried every doctor that Israel had, but nobody could help. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, regardless of the drama you are experiencing in your personal life or in the life of your family, I am here to tell you that there is somebody who can help you. Nothing is impossible with God. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? What did I say? Nothing is impossible with God. I can trust him. But this man had faith in the power of Christ. He believed God could do something. He had what I call crisis faith. He had crisis faith. He didn't want Jesus. He only wanted a miracle. There are a lot of people who don't want Jesus. They only want a miracle. There are people here with crisis faith. They only see God when there's a crisis. They only see God when somebody is sick and the doctor can't help. They only see God when the money runs out. Listen, it's good to have crisis faith, but that's not good enough. Sometimes because we have crisis faith, we think we are saved because I have faith in God. No, crisis faith don't save anybody. Do you know it pains the heart of Jesus when the only time we seek him is in a crisis? And that's why he said some startling words in verse 48. Look at verse 48. Verse 48, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, unless you people see signs and wonders, you by no means believe. What Jesus said may appear rough, but Jesus was making a point to the man and those following him that they didn't really want him. They only wanted what he could do. You see, for some people, Jesus was a spiritual ATM machine. Are you understand what I'm talking about? Jesus was an ATM machine. He was just spitting out miracles, one miracle after the other. So all these people were following him, but a lot of people who were following Jesus didn't really want Jesus. They just wanted another blessing, another miracle. Why are you following Jesus? What are you looking for? If Jesus never did one more thing for you, would you still love him? Is salvation enough? As a pastor, it breaks my heart to recognize that many people who say they love Jesus have disappeared. Because the attitude of many who say we love Jesus is, Jesus, what have you done for me lately? Jesus, I will only commit as long as you are spitting out more miracles. And Jesus is saying to this group, listen, you only want to see signs and wonders. All you are here for is for another miracle. Why are you here? Would to God that we're here this morning because we really love Jesus. But don't get me wrong. I don't mind if you have faith in the power of Christ. And so if you don't want to believe in Jesus, but you want us to pray for your sick relative, you can come. It's a privilege for us to pray for your sick relative because we know that the God we are praying to is a God of awesome power, and we are privileged to pray for your sick relative. And I am trusting God, and even though at that moment you don't have faith in the person of Jesus, I'm praying that like this man, you will be, there will be a progression of your faith, and it may start with just faith in the power of Jesus, but you know, it may next, you may progress like this man. He started with faith just in the power of Jesus. But then secondly, we see faith in the word of Jesus. Faith in the word of Christ. Amen.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Look at what happened there in verse 50. Jesus said to him, go your way. And what does your Bible say in verse number 50? So the man what? Believed. My Bible says the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. This man had faith in the word of Christ. He came beseeching Jesus to come to his house, and Jesus said, you go home, your son is okay. And this man, he was so confident in what Jesus had said. This is a big deal, folks. First, he had crisis faith. Now he has confident faith. He was now confident. He was so confident in what Jesus had said that he delayed his return. Now you might pick it up immediately because the passage doesn't say it. But if you read carefully, you'll notice the passage does say so, because it's the next day. Those of us who went to Israel recently, we realize that from Cana to Capernaum is only 20 miles. And this miracle happened at 1 p.m. one day. And it's the next day He's finally going home and he runs into his servants, and his servants are telling him, your son got better yesterday at 1 o'clock. It was 1 o'clock. Let's say Wednesday he got sick. The man didn't go home till Thursday. As far as he was concerned, Jesus has healed him. He's going to get better little by little. Perhaps by the time I get home, he'll be better. I don't need to rush home because God has spoken. Are you that confident in the word of Jesus? You know, sometimes I believe that some of my Christian brothers and sisters aren't as confident in the word of Jesus like this man was. This man was confident. Sometimes we go through a crisis and somehow we don't believe 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9 when Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. Listen, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, his grace is sufficient. You can hang on to everything Jesus said. You can have confidence in the word of Jesus. So this man not only had faith in the power of Christ, secondly, he had faith in the word of Christ, but third, his faith finally progressed till he had faith in the person of Christ. Faith in the person of Christ. And that's really where it happens. Now, if you read the rest of the story, in some versions, you may miss what happened. So let's read it in the New American Standard Version. And we're going to put on the screen for you John's Gospel chapter 4, verse 52 and 53. And here's what the Word of God says. So the man inquired of his servants. He's on his way home the next day. And he runs into his servants. And he inquires of them the hour when his son... Read it with me. When he what? Began to get better. Then they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. For most of my life, I've read this, and it didn't click. What did I miss? What happened that made him believe? Because we just read that he believed. He believed that when Jesus said, go home, your son lives. He believed and he went. But no, this verse is saying he finally believed in the person of Christ. What was the big thing? You see, the man expected that when Jesus said, your son lives, that Jesus had stopped the progression of the sickness and that his son would gradually get better. So when his servants... When he asked, what hour, if you notice, what hour did my son, begin to get better? Because in his mind, never in his wildest imagination did he imagine that one minute his son would be at death's door and the next minute he would be perfectly well. Are you seeing it? Are you getting it? Although he believed the word of Jesus, it just didn't compute that it could be like a flick of the switch. He figured, this boy is so sick. Jesus has stopped the progression of the disease, and little by little my son is going to get better. But when he asked the servants, when did he begin to get better? The servants said, listen, at such and such an hour, he got better. And the man realized it was the very minute Jesus said, your son is living. And suddenly dawned in him, this was not some other prophet. This was the Son of the living God. This was the omnipotent Son of God. He spoke the word, and immediately the boy was well. That moment. You see what is described here. He believed. Here, he didn't believe in the power of Jesus. He didn't believe in the word of Jesus. This time, he was believing in the person of Jesus. I want you to grab it. You cannot be saved until you are believing in the person of Jesus. When your faith is in this person, this one who is God manifested in the flesh, the one who went to the cross of Calvary to die for your sin, you cannot be saved until it clicks as to who he is. And that moment it clicked for this man. That moment it clicked. He suddenly realized who Jesus was. Early on in the chapter, in verse 42 of chapter 4, Jesus was in Samaria. And in verse 42, it finally clicked for the people in Samaria, and here's what they declared. They declared, Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, this man had crisis faith. He had confident faith. No, he had confirmed faith. He was believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior of the world. I'm going to wrap it up. Well, let me ask you, has he saved you yet? Has he saved you yet? This Jesus, who is the Christ, the Savior of the world, the one who died on Calvary's cross for your sin, have you humbled yourself before him yet? Have you received him yet? Has he saved you yet? I tell you, as I read this passage, I said, wow. Sometimes we miss the dramatic change that Jesus brings. This was so dramatic. 1 minute, he's dying. The next minute, the boy's perfectly well. I thought of the thief on the cross. I don't know why my mind went to the thief on the cross. This man is dying. He is already sensing the wrath of a Christless hell. 1 minute, there is despair and hopelessness. The next minute, he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He had put faith in the person of Christ. And the very next minute, this man who was facing hell and judgment, the next minute, Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. It was that dramatic. That very day, that man ended up in paradise with God because of faith in Jesus Christ. And I tell you, something dramatic can happen in your life. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you have done or what you haven't done. I want to tell you this morning, if you would put faith in the person of Christ, something dramatic can happen. I close with a story. A teacher was telling his class a story about five frogs sitting on a log. He asked the class, if four of the frogs decided to jump into the water, how many frogs are there left on the log? Five frogs on a log. Four decide to jump into the water. How many frogs are left? It's obvious. The answer is one. Five? Four? The teacher said no. The class said one. The teacher said no. All five are still on the log. The teacher said, deciding to jump is different from jumping. You say, preacher, where are you going with that, preacher? I've met people who have been thinking of getting saved for years. I've even met people who have decided to be saved, but they're still on the log. I'm going to ask you this morning, no matter what age you are, you may be a 5-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 15, a 25, a 35, it doesn't matter what age you are. God is asking you, what is your faith based on? And if it's not based on faith in the person of Christ, the one who is God and man, if it's not based on your humility before God, you need to jump into the arms of Jesus and say, Lord, save me today.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.